Out Loud is retiring in June, but queer programming will continue on your community radio station. KBOO is proud of our longtime support of programming serving and featuring the area's queer community, and while we prepared to say goodbye to Out Loud, we welcome the opportunity for new programs to continue airing in Out Loud's time slot every Tuesday from 6 to 7 p.m. More information is available on the KBOO website at kboo.fm/outloud.
KBOO is a proud sponsor of One Flaming Arrow, an intertribal art, music, and film festival curated by RISE, Radical Indigenous Survivance and Empowerment. This event will take place from June 2nd through the 14th at Surplus Space and multiple venues within Portland, Oregon, Indigenous lands of the Chinook tribe. One Flaming Arrow seeks to evolve the dialogue of Indigenous survivance by introducing a biennial art, music, and film festival. The festival advocates Native expression of autonomy through the warrior spirit. It stands to disrupt the hegemonic white noise of contemporary culture by focusing on non-conventional exhibition spaces and non-neo-traditional Native artists. Spaces created for the radically political, experimental, and emerging. Surplus Space, located at 3726 Northeast 7th Avenue, Portland, Oregon. For more information, visit oneflamingarrow.com. Special thanks to PICA's Precipice Fund, Caligram Foundation, and the Andy Warhol Foundation for the Visual Arts.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland 5, presenting an evening with Brazilian classical guitar duo, the Assad Brothers, with Romero Lumbombo, Wednesday, June 24th at the Winningstad Theater. Tickets and information for the Assad Brothers is available at portland5.com. Now let's go to stage and studio.
I'm Demi Roberts, Stage and Studio, back for the first live show since March. Yes, Stage and Studio is live today, and anything could happen. Yeah, and it will. And that includes some fun with the Outright Theater Festival. I have in the studio with me Artistic Director Rusty Tennant. Hello.
Hey there, how are you?
Welcome back. Thanks. And he's directing the world premiere of a new musical called Under the Influence, and it's by writer and composer Ernie LaJoy.
Hi there.
Welcome to Stage and Studio.
Thank you.
You're a Broadway composer. I just heard that you
lyricist.
Okay, well, lyricist, that's a good thing.
Yes,
you know,
I
you make the words that make the people want to sing, right?
Yeah, it was this week was pretty incredible. I have two songs in the Broadway show, It Should Have Been You, and it's a large woman, and she sings a song that I wrote with Barbara Ansemley called Beautiful, and it's all about, you know, body image. And David Hyde Pierce in the Tonys this week read a letter that we got from a fan about how much that inspired her. Incredibly overwhelmed.
So your name was mentioned all over the Tonys then?
They never mentioned my name. They mentioned the
song. Well, now we have to tweet it, everybody. Yeah, it's
exactly.
Ernie LaJoy, L-I-J-O-I.
But I'm really,
how rude of David Hyde Pierce, may I say. Just kidding.
Well, I'm glad to have you here.
Thank
it's
you.
Great to have you. Rusty, first off, I want to get some background on the Outright Festival.
Sure.
And, you know, it started 3 years ago. And yep. Can you tell us why it started and what was the need for it?
Well, it actually kind of started 5 years ago. We started out with the Gay Pride reading series that we did for 1 year, and it ended up being our most successful venture that we had up until that point in time. So we took a year off, reformulated it, came back with something with maybe a little bit more name cachet in the Outright Festival. And since then, it's just been, each year we've programmed the festival a little differently and tried to see what works not only with our community and with our audience, but what works with our producing organization and, you know, what can we handle, what can we do? And this year is just yet another step forward and another bigger, better festival. So,
well, you talk about the producing organization. You're also the artistic director of Fuse Theater Ensemble. Is that the producing organization for
yeah,
this?
Yeah, along with the very kind and generous support of Portland's theater goddess, Ronnie LaCroute. We've been able to, she's amazing.
She's everywhere and she's well-deserved, you know, well-deserved for all the love and accolades.
We are a very fortunate community. There's no doubt
very
about it.
Much
when it comes
so.
To theater, we have a lot going on, and a great majority of that is due to Ronnie and her generosity.
So. Well, and she likes small theater companies too, and really helps support them as well as some of the larger ones. But really, it's the small ones that it mean has the greatest impact, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, absolutely. And she's such a supporter of original work too. We were just actually talking last night about, you know, how excited she is for the festival and the amount of new work that we're generating and the focus on that. So, you know, that does your heart good. It's not necessarily David Hyde Pierce on the Tonys mentioned in my lyrics, but it was a good thing.
It's not a competition. If it were, I'd win.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Always. You guys, okay, fight nice, you know. So the goal is of the Outright, though, is to be an incubator of new LGBTQ work. And so you have workshops and readings as well as the main production, which is Under the Influence this year.
Yeah, developing work is the term I like to use, because new is bizarre.
It's relative,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, it's so relative. Scripts may have been read 10 years ago or even produced 10 years ago, but a rewrite has come out. And just the idea of developing work. But, yeah, you know, the AIDS crisis, as much of a horrible thing as it was for us to endure as a community, really generated a lot of theater and a lot of attention to LGBTQ theater. And since, you know, the medicine has kind of caught up at this stage of the game with at least the treatment of the disease, the theater all of a sudden kind of lost its hook to hang its hat on.
Interesting.
And most important thing to me is that we don't lose this important, I mean, we teach LGBTQ theater in college, along with, you know, realism and modernism and so on and so forth. And I don't want our next generation to lose touch with the fact that, and I, you know, I say this at a lot of the shows, I personally believe, and I don't have the metrics maybe to prove this, but I certainly have the experience, I think, in the community to prove this, that there is no greater canon of the LGBTQ civil rights experience than the theater. It has been the place where we have told our stories and created the legends that need to be passed on from generation to generation. So to me, that's the major focus of this festival, is to make sure that what we have created is not lost.
Well, I was going to save this for towards the end, but this is kind of a tough question. There does seem to be more acceptance, more LGBTQ material in theater, in mainstream theaters. Mm-hmm. And is there still a need to have this kind of a festival? I mean, with marriage equality and, you know, all it seems like it's a better time.
Well, I was doing research today about this, and you know, if they say less than 10% of the population, closer to 5, is LGBT identified, yet 40% of homeless teens and young adults are LGBT. So that says it right there. There's so much bias in the world. We live in a little politically safe enclave here in Portland, but there's just so much hate and bigotry and miscommunication. So to have the information out there in the plays and people represented in the plays is one thing, but also having a place, a safe space that young adults can come see theater where they are represented and shown that they have worth is incredibly important.
Well, and that's an important part of the festival, because I even saw on your Facebook page, Rusty, on the Outright Festival Facebook page, that you put up a video plea for people to donate passes to young people, to young teens.
Yeah, both Ernie and I have we've lived in numerous other cities, New York in particular. He's from Boston. I've lived in New Orleans, Dallas, Vegas. And so we have connections in other places, and they maybe can't necessarily come to see the shows in the festival, but they still want to do something to help. And to me, this is the donate a pass program that we've set up with initially Outside In, but we're actually at the stage where we might might have exceeded what they could possibly use from us. So we may actually move this to other charitable organizations.
That doesn't mean it still doesn't help.
No, no, no. It does help. I think we've done an amazing job at helping them. To really propel this idea that, especially now that we are becoming more visible. Accepted is a very dangerous word as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
We're becoming more visible.
Right.
Now is especially the time that we need these festivals. We need our stories to be conveyed so that not just the LGBTQ community knows our stories, but so that others understand our stories and know where we're coming from.
And it's also important as we grow forward politically with the theater and as it relates to LGBT people, that we start producing works that aren't about being LGBT,
right.
that have plays that just have these characters that exist in reality. You know, like you said, during the AIDS crisis, every play was about AIDS. It's time we move past that.
Yeah.
Not because it's over, but because
there's a new chapter, isn't there? There always has to be a new chapter with every group, especially, and with every generation.
With every civil rights movement, it's a constant move forward.
Exactly.
AIDS gave visibility largely to the gay community, gay men, and we live in a different time now. The representation of LGBTQ theater, needs to pluralize itself just like the community has. There is that need as well. We're not just a bunch of gay men telling stories about, boys in the band and so on. Love the play, don't get
me wrong. Right, no, I know,
But you understand what I mean.
Those are classics.
Yeah, those are classics at this stage of the game. And there's a new generation of storytellers out there.
Right. At this point, I look at the civil rights movement for gender identity and expression is more for the transgender community. It's sort of where gay men were in the 80s, and mm-hmm. we need to lift everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a big part of this festival also.
And you mm-hmm. talked about especially homeless teens, 40% being kicked out of their houses, most likely,
or just abused till they left.
Right. You know? And running away from home, whatever the situation. Is it still a difficult time in the schools for young teens who are LGBT?
Depends where you are. That's a geographic concern.
I think it really is. Yeah.
But there are places where it's so much better.
Right.
My niece and nephew in their high school, they had, a GLBT group. My niece had a friend that was a lesbian. That would never have happened when I was in high school.
That's good to hear.
And it's interesting. I come from a very small town in the middle of Michigan. And I stay in contact with them quite a bit. And I hear very often that things have changed there. I hear that from relatives. I hear that from friends. I don't know. I don't have the experience of walking down the halls now as a gay kid. I don't know. I know the things that, that kept me in the closet may not be the same things that might keep a kid in the closet in this day and age. So I don't know what the struggle is, but I will say, like you said, I hear a lot. I teach college out at Clark College, and I hear a lot of kids, very open, have been open about their sexuality since their, really their maturation process. So I think it is different. Easier is, once again, it's just another one of those slippery slope words.
In weird contrast, I've seen situations where, particularly gay and lesbian issues have been so, brought to the light by shows like Will and Grace, that kids grew up in an atmosphere where they're fine with gay and lesbian kids around them. Yet still racism is completely rampant in their community. So that's like a discord. And so when I say civil rights movements always have to continue moving forward, same thing with racial issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, their isms don't necessarily go away. You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Dima Roberts with Rusty Tennant and Ernie LaJoy. And the Outright Festival, it's happening June 14th through the 28th of June at the Funhouse Lounge. And the centerpiece is a new musical, Under the Influence, brand new musical by Broadway playwright, composer, and lyricist Ernie LaJoy and composer Kevin Larson. Ernie, we're going to play a song, but do you want to tell us a little bit about Under the Influence?
Under the Influence is...
It's kind of a wild story.
It is a very wild story.
I want you to tell the story.
Well, it evolved from... I had a canon of music that I had written, and I looked at it, and I saw a constant theme, which is... substance abuse. I had a song about chocolate that I had written with Kevin. I had a, Larsa and I had a song about alcohol. I had a song about coffee, and I saw a theme there. So I built this show around it, and the show now focuses. It actually has a through line and a character named Anita, and she's a variety of Anitas throughout the play. She's an Anita Smoke, Anita Drink, Anita Cup, Anita. And there's an MC character that guides her through this whole process.
Anita Hug.
Yeah,
no.
Pretty.
Don't we all?
So it goes through a series of vices, but they're all tied together in a fairly unique way that Rusty helped me. That was what this process is about, finding the through line in all this disparate work. I think we've done a really great job with that. This particular song, what are you playing first?
Huh? Oh, we're going to hear, let's hear, we have a couple songs. This one's titled The Routine. You want to give us an intro in
there? Oh, this is alcohol segment of the show. This is probably the only moody piece. The show is very campy, up
it?
And fun. The recording you have here is actually me, but
oh,
I'm not singing.
Because I was going to say it's a beautiful voice.
I'm not singing it in the show, though.
Okay.
But this is in the alcohol segment. It is the moody jazzy lounge number done at the piano.
Well, let's hear Ernie LaJoie's beautiful voice.
So he winked a handsome eye, so he told a little lie, so he left you high and dry, it's nothing new. Now you linger at the bar, eating olives from the jar and feeling blue. How can you say that this was unforeseen? By now you should be used to the routine. So you tried to play it cool, but he played you for a fool. Now you sit there at your stool and sing the blues. You've only got yourself to blame. Don't know why you'd play a game you always lose. Every evening.
You're listening to Stage and Studio. I'm Demi Roberts. We were just listening to a song from Under the Influence, a new musical by Ernie LaJoie, and what a beautiful voice and beautiful song. I love that song. It's directed by Rusty Tennant, who is also my guest today with Ernie. And Under the Influence is the centerpiece of the Outright Festival, Outright Theater Festival, happening June 14th through the 28th, June 28th. All shows are at the Funhouse Lounge located at 2432 Southeast 11th Avenue in Portland. For more info, visit their site at WRIGHT, that's right with a W, outrightfest.com. And you can get more of that info plus that link at stageandstudio.org. Ernie, that was just a beautiful song. Are you performing all of these live with a band, or is it just piano?
Piano, four singers.
Yeah, and it sounds like a really great cast, too. You want to give a shout out to some of the cast members,
Rusty? Oh, my
Rusty?
God, yes. Playing the MC and singing that song you just heard will actually be Brian DeMar Jones. Additionally, playing the character of Anita will be Sarah Elizabeth. And then playing the character of Woman will be Leslie Renee. Two young ladies who moved here within probably the past year.
Right around when I did.
Both, yeah.
We're all new.
Brian and I are the only people actually who've been around here for a while. It's a fairly new cast, and I hope that excites people. The talent is ridiculous.
And the photos, if you go to stageandstudio.org or outrightfestival.com, outrightfest.com, it's a very exuberant photos that you have of the cast. I really love them. Let's hear
photos by Greg Parkinson Photography.
Wonderful photos. Well, there's another song I want to get to quickly before we bring in our phone guests. Love at First Bite.
Chocolate.
Okay, I was going to ask. I thought it was Vampire. Okay.
Well, don't give it away.
So let's hear just a little bit of that.
I'm in love, but it's not what you think. In fact, most of my family and friends tell me I need a shrink. But who needs a family? Who needs a friend? Now I have a lover of my own. Relatives die, friendships end, so I might as well spend chocolate. It's my special dark affair. Chocolate. There's no man can compare. You're so dreamy. You're so creamy. I want you inside me every night. When I met chocolate, it was love at first sight. Chocolate. There's no.
Well, Ernie, you know how to write for women, don't you?
Well, Kevin Larson, actually, I wrote the lyrics for that. Kevin Larson actually composed the music for
beautiful,
it.
Beautiful, beautiful job. Perfect working together, too. Have you worked together a lot?
Yeah. And there's also another composer involved, Lawrence Rush, who did some of the work here. I write book and I write lyrics and I write music, but I write lyrics way faster than I write music. So I sometimes hand things off to people I really trust.
Well, they were very witty lyrics, I have to say. A lot of fun. A lot of fun. How important is the Outright Festival, theater festival, in developing this new work for you?
It wouldn't exist if it wasn't for the Outright Festival. It wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Rusty. I'm so glad I met him. When I first moved here, he hired me to be in a play that he was directing. And then we just got to talking, and I gave him this material. He's like, let's do a reading. I'm like, now? He's like, yeah.
What the heck? Right.
So no time like the present. So
exactly.
We did a reading in January at the Fertile Ground Festival. And from there, it's been like, let's produce this. And so I've been running nonstop since, and it's been evolving, and his input has been crucial to its development and yes, I was just rewriting the scene on the way here talking to him about it. I'm going to print out and give to the cast tonight at rehearsal.
Well, I'm so pleased to hear that. We have another event that's part of the festival, and so it's a reading of a new work, and it's called They, Them, There by Lila Janelle. And with us to talk about this is the play director. He's been waiting in the wings, Jack Stocklin. He's joining us by phone. Hello, Jack. Are you still there?
Hello.
Thank you for waiting. What inspired the title, They, Them, There?
They, them, there refers to the pronouns used by a lot of genderqueer people who find themselves in the middle between male and female, so they choose the pronouns they, them, and there to highlight for themselves and to other people that they don't identify with being male or female.
Well, tell us about, you're working with Lila Janelle, and Lila is in the show, and it sounds like a very personal work. You want to tell us a little about how, you know, what the show's about and how Lila fits into it?
Lila actually isn't in the show. We found someone to play.
So it was written by Lila, though.
Yeah. It's written by Lila, And I thought it would be better to have her outside of the work so she could really get an objective view of it. As a stage reading, it's really important for a playwright's development. Having her be able to watch the work, I thought would be very important. So this play goes over, it's set in a queer youth center, and it has, the characters in the show are youth in the center and also one of their adult advisors. And so we follow the path of the youth as they're, two of the youth are about to age out. So they're 18 heading into 19. And then there's one younger youth and their journey heading into adulthood and coming to terms with themselves as queer people and also as adults and things like that.
So young people are in the reading then, it sounds like.
There are the people playing everyone. Everyone is an adult that is in the reading as actors, but they're all younger and they've all are queer and genderqueer and transgender and familiar with those sorts of struggles.
Well, is this, I know Lila Janelle is a writer for PQ Monthly and Bitch Media and several other outlets. Is this the first theatrical work though?
No, last year she did, I forget the name of it, Rusty will know, something about candy.
Oh, No More Candy,
No More Candy, yeah. She did that last year. They had a staged reading as part of the Outright Theater Festival.
Oh, okay, so this is a continuing relationship here. What's it like working with Lila on this?
She's been lovely. It's been, I think she's a newer playwright, so there's been a little of looking for ways to help theatricalize her work more.
Well, do you both see this as an opportunity to develop this into a full production then?
Absolutely. Eventually, that would be a good goal for this project. This first one is we want to see it come to life and then go back to editing it, of course, and then come back around again. As the previous guest was talking about how, you know, he's rewriting the scene as he's heading into rehearsal.
And that's what the stages that you're in, that you both are in right now?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reading of They, Them, There is June 16th at 7 p.m. at the Funhouse Lounge. And mm-hmm. I just wanted to know, you know, do you have plans for it to go other places? Or do you? Is it something, Rusty, that you'll bring back for Outright next year?
Always a potential. And, you know, quite honestly, I curate the festival mainly by director interest. I usually try to choose director and then let them choose the work. But Leela has been, you know, a really big supporter of Outright and really been involved with us over the past couple of years. And it is just, it has been difficult to find trans work out there that I think represents the trans community and the genderqueer community effectively. And so having someone here, it only makes sense to be the incubator for her work, to nourish her work.
Absolutely.
And how important is this work to you personally, Jack?
As a transgender person myself, and a transgender artist, highlighting the work and words of transgender people is incredibly important to me. And also, people being transgender in general is a really big topic right now, and so I think it's a great opportunity for us to talk about, hey, we need to be able to tell our own stories, and to do that, we need to have places to develop our stories. So incubators like the Outright Theater Festival are perfect. And on top of incubating transgender writers and directors and things, it's also incubating trans actors and performers to be able to play their own roles,
Amen.
Which I think is incredibly important.
That's an important part of it is authenticity. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I really kudos to all of you for doing this, because I think it's really a topic that needs to keep, you know, being revisited over and over again.
Absolutely.
Jack Stockland, thank you for joining us today. And I guess break legs on the reading, you know, have
thank
a great,
you so much.
I hope you have a great turnout. Thanks so much.
Well, I'll share all the wishes with the cast. We're very excited.
Take care. Well, you know, we have just a few minutes left, Rusty, and I don't know if you want to give a shout out for any of the others, but I'll just read a couple of the highlights. The drama comedy Almost Home, that's a reading.
A reading directed by Stephanie Mulligan, it's about a lesbian relationship that, and I love this idea, this because it is new, it's current, that is separating, that is, and the family that they've created and how they deal with it. So,
and there's Oso Fabuloso and the Barebacks.
J. Julian Christopher.
Can we talk about that?
Oh, yeah. J. Julian Christopher has been a part of this festival from the onset. His play Man Boobs was really successful a few years ago. His other play, Animals Commit Suicide, was by far the most successful reading last year. Was an artist rep.
Wow.
J. Julian is a friend of ours, and he is welcome here anytime we can get him
Wonderful.
Here.
Wonderful.
He wrote a new musical that's hilarious. It's a send-up.
I know nothing about it. I can't wait to see it.
We all kind of know nothing about it.
It sounds like there's a lot of comedy involved.
Well, and it's a bit of a we trust you and sort of a situation. And he comes out here. He's a big supporter. He comes out here every year from New York, or tries to find a way at least. So, yeah, I love that man.
And Reverberation?
Reverberation. Tom Chapman, who is not only my neighbor but my good friend, who worked on OSF with Chris Moore, and has come to me earlier this year when I said to him I wanted him to direct. I'm like, what play would you like to direct? And he threw this play in front of me, and I was like, it is definitely the most current, relevant, nationally recognized script we have right now. It just received 7 nominations for Connecticut's Critics Circle
Impressive.
Awards. It is a phenomenally beautiful piece about struggles and friendships, and I mean it is human and heartbreaking, and I'm excited about the cast we have for that too.
Oh, that sounds really like you're running the gamut in emotions as well as comedy. And so I just have to ask you briefly, how to be a sissy workshop, what's that about? Can everybody take it?
Brian Hainbach, right? Anybody can take it, I'm pretty certain. Brian Hainbach from who teaches theater down at Lane Community College in Eugene, he and I have talked in the past about wanting him to be a part of it, and he has put together this one-man solo show called How to Be a Sissy, where a person by the name of Percy Q. Shun takes you through the steps of how to be a better, I think it's more skewed towards being a good Southern sissy when it comes right down to it.
Very tongue-in-cheek,
Brian's
very
from in Southern South Carolina, I think. So I know I'm pretty sure.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Well, make sure you check out the Outright Theater Festival happening June 14th through June 28th at the Funhouse Lounge located at 2432 Southeast 11th Avenue in Portland. For more info, visit their site at Outright, WRIGHTFest.com. And you can get more of that info at stageandstudio.org. Rusty, Tennant, and Ernie LaJoy, so great talking with you, and just
well,
having this wonderful conversation. And I kudos to you for the Outright Festival and keeping it going.
Thank you so much.
And, you know, you're welcome anytime, Rusty.
You're amazing. Thank you for everything you're doing for the theater, too.
Well, that's it for Stage and Studio. And I want to thank my incredible engineer who handled so much today, Janet Anderson. Shout out. I have photos and links of all of my guests here in info at stageandstudio.org. As well as the podcast of this show, which will be up later today. Please do like us on facebook.com/stage_studio or tweet me at @stage_studio. Till next time, I'm DeMay Roberts. We're going to go out with another song from Under the Influence.
Actually, I don't have another song, but I do have this announcement.
Kick me one of them funky ass beats.
Tune in Thursday, June 19th at 10 p.m. for a special live remote broadcast from What the Festival at the Wolf Run Ranch. We'll be showcasing the musical and visual artists at this year's festival with interviews, music, and interactions with the producers and participants, exploring what makes this such a uniquely immersive, entertaining, and intimate festival. Again, be sure to tune in at 10 p.m. Thursday, June 19th for our What the Festival broadcast here on KBOO Community Radio. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
And you're tuned to KBOO Community Radio 90.7. Up next, we'll hear an episode of Book Waves hosted by Richard Walensky. His guest is Carrie Perloff, the artistic director of American Conservatory Theater in San Francisco. She discusses her memoir, Beautiful Chaos, A Life in Theater. This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Portland 5, presenting an evening with Brazilian classical guitar duo, the Assad Brothers, with Romero Lubombo, Wednesday, June 24th at the Winningstad Theater. Tickets and information for the Assad Brothers is available at portland5.com.
This KBOO program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation.